Well, we read together in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's read again verses 5 and 6. Very familiar words, very important words. Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, this is a big week for Plockton. I'm not just thinking about the closing date for the sale of the church. I'm thinking about what I referred to in prayer as well, the sixth year Big Questions Day. With regard to the sale of the church, well, as you know, the closing date is on Friday. And also, as you know, we have always stated our intention to put in an offer. And all things being well, that is what we will do before the end of the week. And we'll see what happens after that. Having put in our offer, will be, of course, in the hands of other people. The local Church of Scotland Kirk Session have the first say. They look at whatever offers come in, and they will make a recommendation. And then the General Trustees in Edinburgh will look at the offers in light of that recommendation, and they will make a final decision as to who is successful in purchasing the church. So just urge you to pray that all things work together for good, so that God will work in this situation for good. You know, I don't know what his great wisdom is. It may be that it is not for our congregation to purchase this building or to be successful in purchasing. And in that case, he'll have some other way of carrying on his work in this village. And we don't need to be anxious about that. So just commit it to him and trust him. The other thing is something I want to use as a springboard for what I'm going to say tonight. You've heard me speak about this before, because we've been doing it now for many years. That is, meeting with the sixth years for a day and tackling some of the big questions. We call it the Big Questions Day. And what we do is some of the local church leaders and one or two of the staff from the school, we spend a day trying to engage the sixth years in thinking about themselves and about the world and about the spiritual dimensions of the world as well, in a way that hopefully will move on their thinking and make them more aware of their own place and who they are and what's going on. We're not necessarily there on this particular occasion to give all the answers. We're not there to give all the answers. We don't call it the Big Answers Day, because neither I nor any of my colleagues have the answers. But we do want to get the big questions at least asked and thought about. Now, what are the big questions? What are the big questions? If you were asked yourself, what are the really big questions about existence? You know, we're talking about bigger questions than, will the Free Church be successful in their offer for the Plockton church building? That's a tiny question. We're talking about bigger questions than, will Scotland be an independent country this time next year? And that is a tiny question. I mean, in the scale of world history, it's a small question, although it's a big one at the moment for us. We're talking about questions like, is there a God? Like, what is the purpose of existence? Or even, does existence have any purpose? Why are we here? How did the world, how did the universe come about? And these sort of questions are the really big questions. I wonder if you're asking those questions tonight. Are you the sort of person who's constantly thinking about these things? And do you feel that you've found the answers to the big questions? And how do you find the answers to the big questions? Can you find the answers? To find the answers to the big questions, is it about smartness? Do you need to be a really smart person? And if you're a really smart person, with a lot of brain power, will you find the answers, the right answers, to the big questions? Well, you and I know that among the smartest minds in this world that we live in, there are many different answers given to the big questions. Smartness does not guarantee that we get the right answer to the big questions. So that might be a relief to some of you. It's certainly a relief to me to know that it's not smartness that's required, or else I'm doomed. The Bible tells me that, though. Paul says, the world by its wisdom does not know God. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you know the answers to the big questions. So, if you can't find the answers by being smart, do you then find someone else who's smart enough to find the answers for you? Well, the problem with that is that means you've got to be smart enough to decide who is smart enough to answer the questions. And that still depends on your smartness. That still requires your brains. And as we've just seen, smart people don't all come up with the same answers to the big questions. So being smart is not what's required. Maybe we should be asking, is there anyone smart enough? Is any human brain big enough or clever enough to answer the big questions like, is there a God, or why are we here? Is there anyone? Can human beings answer all the questions just by thinking about things deeply enough, just by probing fully enough? Is there anyone on this planet who's sufficiently smart to have all the answers? Just a few days ago, we heard all the different Nobel Prizes being awarded. One of them went to a Scotsman, which was quite gratifying, to Peter Higgs. Well, he's a terribly smart guy. But if people like that are so smart, why haven't the answers all been given already? Why are they still saying, we don't understand so many things about the universe? In fact, what happens is these days that the smartest people probe more and more deeply into more and more specialized areas of questioning, and they know more and more about less and less. And so even the smartest people, although they may be world authorities on their subject, they don't know the answers to everything, and they might not know very much about an awful lot of things. Because the human brain is not big enough. The human brain is not smart enough to be able to know all the answers. Think of Solomon. Solomon was called the wisest man of his day. God gave him a special gift of wisdom. Well, we read one day that the Queen of Sheba came to visit him, and we read that she asked him lots of questions. And we read also that Solomon had all the answers. Well, he must have been pretty smart. Well, I have a little theory about that. I think that it wasn't that Solomon was really smart that all the questions were answered. It was because the Queen of Sheba wasn't smart enough to ask him difficult questions. Because Solomon didn't have all the answers. There are things that Solomon most certainly would not have been able to give the answer to. I just think the Queen of Sheba didn't ask him difficult enough questions. Because there isn't anyone that has the brain power to just know everything, or to know all the answers, or to figure it all out. So does that mean that while we're having this big questions day, we might as well not bother? Does that mean that we might as well not bother asking the big questions about life? That we might as well just confine ourselves to asking questions about the football, or about how we're going to pay the bills or whatever? Well, on Wednesday, when we meet with the sixth-year, as a starting point, we're going to use a radio talk by a philosopher called Roger Scruton. Now, Roger Scruton is a very smart guy. He's a professor at St. Andrews University. And his little radio talk is about what makes a human being. And he asks the question, what makes you and me human? And the answer that Roger Scruton gives to that question, the main answer is, what makes you and me human is that we ask questions. In other words, asking the question, what makes me human, is something that defines us apart from all other creatures on the planet. We presume that not even dolphins ask that question. That there isn't another creature on the planet that says, why am I here? And is there a God? That it's only human beings that do that. Only human beings ask questions, the big questions, and try to change the world by the answers that we give. And he shows, Roger Scruton shows, how science and art and religion and philosophy all have poured their different perspectives into this enterprise of asking questions. And he shows how asking questions causes revolutions. And he says, don't stop asking questions. He says, he fears as a philosopher that today people are not asking questions enough. He says they're just happy to accept ready-made sort of Wikipedia kind of answers. He says today, just as we like ready meals because they're convenient, so we like ready answers. But it's what makes us human. Asking questions. So there's a difficult recipe. If we aren't smart enough to answer the questions, but being human means we keep asking them, does that mean we're going to be frustrated? Do we despair because we've got all these big questions, but we're not smart enough to answer them? You see the problem? There are lots of big questions out there. Why are we here? But if we're not actually smart enough to work out the reason, and yet being a human being means we're going to keep asking that question, does that mean we're going to always be despairing and frustrated? Well, yes, if human brains are the only brains available to answer the questions. If human brains are all we've got, we're going to be stuck. But wait a minute. Where do these questions come from? We live in a universe that we don't understand fully. There are all sorts of things about this universe that are beyond our understanding. And even the Peter Higgses of this world, trying to get their heads round physics, trying to get their heads round the way things work, are still full of questions, full of gaps in their understanding. So, does that mean the universe is smarter than we are? Like it has answers that we can never find out? Because it's more complicated than we can understand. In other words, does there have to be someone smarter than a human being to work out how the universe is? And if the universe just came about on its own, how can a universe be smarter than the smartest creatures in it? I wonder if any of you like doing puzzles. You like doing puzzles, Nathan? No, you don't like doing puzzles, no. What about you, Naomi? I think you probably do. Oh, yeah. What kind of puzzles do you like? Crosswords? No? Number puzzles? Yeah? Sudoku? I like doing sudoku. That's one of the things I've been doing in my holidays, actually. I got some sudoku and had a go at them. And sometimes I'm doing these sudoku because I like to try ones that really stretch me, ones that are really hard. Sometimes I'm doing them and I think, the person that set this puzzle must be really smart. But then actually I realise it's probably a computer generated these puzzles anyway. And then I think, well, the person that wrote the program that sets these puzzles must be really smart. And so out there is this great person that makes puzzles. And they must be very smart. Some of the puzzles that you come across are really very, very clever. And if you can't solve them, but someone can set them, then they're smarter than you. Would you agree with that? You know, if you can't work them out, but they can set them, they're probably smarter than you are. Well, if the universe is a big puzzle, think of the universe as a big puzzle, and all the human brains are trying to figure out this puzzle, and all the questions about the universe, doesn't that make you think, well, if this is a puzzle that's smarter than me, I can't figure out this puzzle that is the universe myself, and neither can Peter Higgs, right? And the smartest brains, the Solomons of this world. Who set the puzzle? Or is it possible you can have a puzzle that no one set? I mean, if someone came to me and gave me my sudoku and said, "Hey, Roddy, here's a sudoku that just appeared out of nowhere. No one set this sudoku." And I go at this sudoku and I think, man, this is a fiendishly difficult sudoku. But no one set it. It just appeared on a piece of paper. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? I would know that someone somewhere had set this sudoku puzzle. The universe is something we're asking a big question of. It's a puzzle to us. We're trying to figure out the puzzle. And we're not getting all the answers, and we don't feel we can get all the answers. To think that the universe is just a big puzzle that we can't figure out, but no one actually set the puzzle. That really, really doesn't make sense. And maybe the problem with human beings when they just say that it's like that, that it's just a universe that just came into being on its own, it just bing and it was there. Maybe it's just that we don't like to admit that there's a smarter one out there, a smarter great puzzler, we'll call him the great puzzler, who set the puzzle of this universe for us to think about. In other words, we're not the smartest beings in the universe after all. You know, I think human beings like to think they're pretty smart. And certainly, I think it's a human tendency that comes to people, not just the smartest people, but to a lot of people, to think they're pretty smart and they're right. And they don't like to have to admit that someone else knows more than them. We're all like that to some extent. We don't like to think that someone else is smarter than we are, or that someone else might have the answers and we don't. And when it comes to the great puzzle of the universe, and people are thinking their heads off about this great puzzle, people get very proud because they can get very clever about it and very smart about the answers they're giving, but they still don't have all the answers. And maybe they don't actually like to admit, hey, wait a minute, the great puzzler set this puzzle, and he must be smarter than me because I can't figure it out. And I'm not the smartest scientist that there is, and I'm not the smartest engineer, or I'm not the smartest philosopher, or whatever. Sometimes pride can be a problem. Pride can blind us to the obvious. And the obvious sometimes is that there is a great puzzler out there who set a puzzle that is this universe, who's a great deal smarter than we are. And what we need instead is some humility to admit that we don't actually have the answers, and that people aren't going to be able to figure out all the answers. And maybe the way to find the answers is not through having all the brain power in the that's possible, or through having sufficient IQ and intelligence. Maybe there's another way to find the answers to the big questions. Maybe it's possible to know the answers to the big questions even if I'm not that smart. Even if I don't have that bright an IQ, even if I'm not the the brightest button or the brightest bulb. Maybe it's not the man who thinks that his thinking is great who finds the answers. Maybe it's the little child. Maybe it's the little child who knows he's never going to figure this puzzle out, but he goes to the teacher to ask what the answer is. That's the person that figures it out. Again, when I was studying engineering, many times I'd be thinking, man, this is a really difficult problem I'm working on here. And I'd be amazed that there were professors out there who knew the answers and knew how to set these problems. And sometimes I'd have to give up and just go and say, you know, Dr. So-and-so, can you show me how to do this? Sometimes that's the person who gets the answer. It's not the guy who says, well, I'm smarter than all these other guys. I'm going to work it out myself. But it's the child, the little child, who says, well, I'll never figure this out, but I know someone who can. In the case of the universe, that someone is the great puzzler. All the philosophers and all the scientists and all the religious leaders don't have all the answers in them. They disagree among themselves. And it doesn't matter how smart they are, how confident they are, or how proud they are of their own answers. But maybe it's just the child who really knows. Or the child who knows that, well, here's the puzzle. I'm trying to do it and I can't. I wonder who set the puzzle. I'm going to ask him. The great puzzler. The child says, I can trust the great puzzler. He knows the answers. And if he knows the answers, he knows the answers to my life and my needs as well. I can trust him. Maybe, in fact, it's not just that the great puzzler has the answers. Maybe the great puzzler is the answer. Maybe the answer is a person. Since no human being can work out the answers, but the answers are there because the universe is there. There must be answers, but we can't figure them out. The solution is that someone set that puzzle. Someone made the universe the way it is, so let's trust that someone. They know the answers. Let's let them figure things out. Let's let them figure things out for our lives. The great puzzler. So the answers to the big questions are maybe not something we're going to get our heads around. But the answer may be the one who got his head round the big questions and who made them up, the great puzzler. The one who says, I am the answer. So today, maybe tonight, what we're looking for, maybe the 6 years too, what we're really looking for, is not some human being who comes along and says, hey, I've found the answer. Here it is. Understand it and follow it and you'll be okay. Maybe what we need is someone who is the answer. Now, if you look around all the religious leaders and the philosophers and the scientists and so on, you don't hear religious leaders or scientists or philosophers saying, I am the answer. Unless they're nuts, of course. Or unless they're the great puzzler. I'd like to meet the great puzzler. Just to know that there was someone who does know all the answers to the puzzles of the universe. Who is he? Jesus said, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. Here he is. Here is the great puzzler. The one who set the questions. The questions we're trying to figure out. The one who made the universe with all its difficult problems It's complicated. It's difficult. Human brains can't understand it. Here is the great puzzler who set the puzzle. Here's the one whose feet we can sit at, like children, humbly, because he knows answers to questions we don't even know how to ask. But we can be happy that he knows the answers. We can be children who trust him, just like children generally trust their parents to know the answers to some things. We can trust Jesus, all of us, like children. He knows the answers because he is the great puzzler. He's the one that set the puzzle of the universe. I am the way. Doesn't say, I'll show you the way, I'll tell you the truth, and I'll give you the life. He says, I am the way. He's a person. The person himself, the great puzzler himself, is the way and the truth and the life. Listen to the words of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23-24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. What can we boast of tonight? Not that we have all the answers, not in our own wisdom, or our strength, or our riches, but that we know the one who does have the answers. The Lord, the living God, who came into this world in Jesus Christ, the great puzzler, who set the big questions that we are struggling to answer because we don't have the brain power or the wisdom to answer them. Let us trust him, because he not only knows the answers, but he set the questions. So let's not be here tonight, or hope the 6 year won't be either, thinking we know the answers. But let us instead stop and listen, and humble ourselves and trust Jesus, who really does know the answers to the big questions. He is the truth. He is the answer, or the answers. Jesus is the answers. He is the way. We can follow him, even if we don't know the way, like Thomas in verse 5. He knows the way, and he'll take us safely. He is the life. We trust him, we shall have life. Now, I've taken a jump, I know, from thinking about, well, who is the great puzzler, to coming to Jesus, because there isn't anyone else like Jesus. That's why I've taken that jump. There isn't anyone else like Jesus. I remember a story that came out of Nigeria, where there was a Muslim school, and the students in the Muslim school were studying the Bible. They were studying the Bible because they were trying to find answers to questions that they might be asked as Muslims about why they didn't believe the Bible. In other words, they were studying it in order to contradict it and argue against it. And they were reading John's Gospel. And one of the students thought John's Gospel was wonderful. And he said to the teacher, he says, why didn't Muhammad say things like this? And he had to flee the country. He had to flee the country. Because he wasn't allowed to ask that question. But we are, thankfully. Man must ask the question. No one ever spoke like this man, Jesus Christ. He is God come into this world, the great puzzler, the one who set the puzzle that is this universe, the great Sudoku that is this entire universe with all its puzzle, with all its amazing complexity. He has the answers, but he is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can trust him. You can trust him tonight. And follow him. Not that you will understand all the answers, but that it will simply be enough for you to know that he does. And you can follow him like a little child. And he will never let you down. Hallelujah. Let's close now. Let's sing to God from Isaiah in the Sing Scripture Sheets. So Scripture Sheet 2. And we'll sing Isaiah 55. Seek God while he is to be found, it says. And it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways those of the Lord. As heaven is high above the earth, my thoughts surpass your thoughts, says God. There's the great puzzler speaking. He has the answers. He is the answer. Let's stand to sing then from Isaiah 55.
Oh, Lord.
Let's pray. Go in peace, and may the blessing of Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, rest upon you now and forevermore. Amen.